The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. Welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
Bears chairman George McCaskey calls him the architect of the greatest defense the NFL has ever seen. He's talking about former Bears defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan, who died yesterday at the age of 85. McCaskey calling Ryan one of the team's all-time greats. We will celebrate his life this hour here on Bears All Access. Good evening, Zach Zaidman, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Tom, we'll start with you. You got an opportunity to practice every single day against that legendary defense. What made Buddy Ryan such a special man?
It was probably his ability to get every one of those guys to practice at a game type of tempo. And, you know, Zach, a lot of times coaches have a hard time motivating players to get the best out of them on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before the game. But that was never a problem for Buddy Ryan. His defense came out there, and they wanted to set the tempo of practice. And then that carried over to the offense. So you never had a day that you could go out there and just say, I'm going to get through this practice, and I'm going to relax my way through it. It was on Wednesday and Thursday. You better have enough air in your helmet that you would have on a game day. And that's the one thing that I always respected about that whole coaching staff, is because their ability to motivate these guys. And, you know, you're talking about a list of Hall of Famers with Hampton and Singletary, with Richard Dent, and guys that should be in the Hall of Fame, Otis Wilson, Wilbur Marshall, and the whole cast and crew. So it was his ability to motivate players on a daily basis, not just on game day Sundays. And again, I think that's one of the most challenging things for coaches to have success in the NFL, is to make sure they're motivating their guys during the week.
Jim, how unique is it to have the kind of relationship that Buddy Ryan's former players clearly had with their coordinator?
Yeah, I think, you know, for, you know, any player, they want to feel that their coach has their back. And I think that's how players felt about Buddy Ryan. It was interesting because I interviewed for SiriusXM, think of Chris Carter, who's a Hall of Fame wide receiver in the NFL. He was drafted in the supplemental draft by Chris Carter. And Buddy Ryan didn't want him to jeopardize his NFL career by giving out the secret that he held, because obviously everybody knew that Chris Carter had alcohol issues and substance abuse issues in Philadelphia. And Buddy Ryan did not allow that to get out. He wanted him to reach his NFL potential, and he goes on. And obviously when he joined the Minnesota Vikings after he left the Philadelphia Eagles, that, you know, that his really his career changed because Buddy believed in him and really didn't let that secret out. And everybody didn't want Buddy Ryan to draft Chris Carter to begin with because of all the issues. You know, think about it. He came out a year early at Ohio State, and everybody was saying all these problems. Nobody wanted to take him. It was almost like a protest in the NFL. But Chris Carter said, you know, I think I wouldn't be the person I am today without Buddy Ryan. And you hear numerous Bears players, that, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that will come out and say they would have run through the wall for Buddy Ryan because they had his back, much like he had their back. And I think that says a lot about all the Bears defensive players writing that letter back in 1981 to really, you know, secure and let George Halas know that we need to keep this coach. This coach is something special. And it should be argued that he is a Hall of Famer, because you cannot state the history of football without mentioning Buddy Ryan's name in that mix.
Tom, we often hear that it was a divided team. You know, both Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan talked about it publicly. And I thought, you know, it was interesting listening to Ditka say yesterday that, you know, they never won a Super Bowl without one another. What was it like in the heat of the moment as it was going on? How did you guys, if you were that divided, how did you put together a championship team in 85?
You know, Zach, it was only divided Monday through Saturday because you had, like I said, you had to go onto the practice field and you had to go out there in a game frame of mind. But on Sunday or Monday night, it was the closest group of guys I've ever been around in my life, and that's including the coaches and all the players. So they understood what it took to be prepared to win games on Sunday, to be an aggressive defense, to take control of the opponent's offense, to make sure that, you know, we complemented each other on the game on Sunday. And, you know, it takes a lot out of you, because I remember the first time I was involved in a 9-on-7 drill, and that's 9 offensive players against 7 defensive players, and it's associated to the running game. And I remember sitting in the huddle, and I was looking at guys like Walter Payton and, you know, Matt Sue and the other great guys inside that huddle, and was excited to see him because I grew up a Bears fan. But then as soon as you break the huddle and you turn around and you look at Hamp and you look at Ming and Mikey Hartenstein and Dent and that whole crew of guys standing behind them, and they're chomping at the bit to get at you. And it's like, hey, guys, we're teammates, but we were teammates that were preparing to win on Sunday. So, you know, yeah, that dividedness probably happened more during the week than on game day, because whether it's before the game, during the game, or after the game, we are a close group of guys that cared about each other. We cared about each other's performances, and we cared about each other's improvements. And if you had to ask a guy like me, Steve McMichael or Hamp or these guys, to give you 10 minutes after practice to do a couple extra one-on-ones, to try to hone your skill a little bit more, they were right there, willing and able to do it. And I do think that's the unique qualities of that football team. Is Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka never separated us as a team. They just wanted us to be prepared during practice day. And you know that if you don't take your practices seriously, you're not going to be physically prepared to do what you had to do on Sunday in order to go out and win the games. And I learned a big lesson in professional football by the coaching staff we had. And, you know, you have to include Dick Stanfeld, our offensive line coach, or Jim LaRue, the defensive back coach, and all the other coaches that were involved in that team, because of the mentality that Buddy and Ditka carried to the practice field. You know, I said, you know, it was the seriousness of the preparation that I think allowed that team to be such a dominating football team.
Buddy Ryan created the 46 defense. Later on in the show, we will talk to the man who is the reason that they call it the 46 defense. But, you know, often when it comes to schemes in the NFL, we always talk about offense and how it takes defenses a while to catch up to offenses. But it seemed as though it took years for the NFL, from an offensive standpoint, to catch up to what Buddy Ryan was doing defensively.
Well, you know, Jimmy, you can agree with it. I think it's the guts to put the talent in position to be so aggressive in attacking the opponent's offense, whether it's the running game or the passing game, that you have to have guts to kind of design a scheme and put players in position that you're not used to seeing. So when the offensive players are trying to communicate their assignments up and down the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden you see 8 or 9 guys on the line of scrimmage and at least 8 of them are coming, you don't know how to filter that up and down the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that's where I think when you get the opportunity to talk to these players who have played for them, it's interesting to just to sit in the defensive meetings and going, all right, guys, this is what we're going to try this week. This is what I think our opponent's weakness is and how we're going to take advantage of it. And, you know, I keep repeating it that it was scary in practice, but I can imagine guys in the NFL that played against them that only had 2 or 3 days of preparation, they probably went out there 40% of the time not having a complete understanding of how they were going to block whatever play they had called, run or pass.
Well, it's interesting. I'll piggyback off Tom because, you know, think about even last year, the Packers ran the 46 defense against the Bears. The Bears ran for 160 yards that game. It was the first matchup. And unless you have the players that Tom saw, the Dan Hamptons and Mike Singletarys and Otis Wilsons and all the great players that were on the defense, certainly the horses up front were absolutely dominating, because at that time period when the 46 was introduced by Buddy Ryan to the National Football League, and the Bears were just wrecking offenses around the NFL. And even Bill Belichick came out and said, basically 21 personnel, 2 backs, 1 tight end, that basically eliminated that personnel grouping, because teams had to figure out how to attack this defense. And you'd go out there and roll out your 2 backs, and even if you had the correct check, these guys were destroying you. Destroying you. Tom will attest, every team in the NFL, you were normally dedicating 2 to 3 periods of your practice of how to go against the 46 defense and how to beat it. But even though the Bears were that dominant, you couldn't beat it even if you called the perfect play.
And Buddy Ryan was dominant defensively from the start of his NFL career with the Jets when they upset the Colts in Super Bowl III to the days in Minnesota with the Purple People Eaters in the 70s to obviously what he did with the Bears and then with the Eagles, Reggie White and company during his heyday there. When we come back, we will talk to the man responsible for the defense being called the 46 defense. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you as we celebrate the life of former Bears defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every weekend on My 50 and Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week on Inside the Bears, see what happens when Bears alumni gather on the golf course. The Bears rookie class brings cheer to a children's hospital, plus Willie Young and Lamar Houston share their stories on overcoming serious injuries. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller celebrating the life of Buddy Ryan, who passed away at the age of 85 yesterday. Taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Out to the phones we go. Deerfield, Jose, you're on Bears All Access. Hello, Jose.
Hey, how are you? A number of years ago, I was listening to Alan Page, who said that the true geniuses about Buddy Ryan was that he knew just as much about offense, if not more, about the defensive side of the ball. And I know, Jim, you can relate to that because you played for guys like Coach Cowher and Coach Belichick, who took over the reins offensively. But my question for Tom is, was there a certain game or a certain moment that stood out to you in 85 where you said, man, this is a dominating defense?
You know, Jose, you bring up a great point about great coaches knowing the other side of the ball as well as they know their own side. And to me, that game, you know, growing up throughout the 60s and the 70s and having so much respect for a team and the accomplishments of a team like the Dallas Cowboys, and Mike Ditka came from Dallas, and he was a protege of Tom Landry. And I think there was a lot of attention that year focused on that game because Mike Ditka not only wanted to impress his former boss, but he wanted to let the Dallas Cowboys know that he was bringing a good football team in there. We went down there in the preseason, and we kind of had a big fight at the beginning of the game with them, and it just goes as the preseason games go. But we went down there and beat them 44-0. And I think that tells you a little bit about the team, the accomplishments of the special teams, the ability of the offense to score points, run the football, and hold up to their end of the bargain. And then the defense were just killing is a hard word, just really brutalizing the opponent's offense, their running backs, their quarterbacks, and they completely dominated that football team. In the first couple games of the season that year, we did have some breaking in of, you know, learning how this team was going to work together. But when we went down to Dallas and took care of them the way that Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan expected us to and more or less really wanted us to, that was the one game early in the season that opened my eyes and made a lot of guys in that locker room believe that we had serious potential.
Is there a team that reminds you that came close since then to playing the kind of defense that you witnessed in 85?
Well, to me, it's the Seattle team a couple years ago when they beat Denver in the Super Bowl, or the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl defense. Those are the two teams that stand out to me immediately. Jim, you may have a different idea than myself.
No, I'm with you. Baltimore of 2000. Tampa Bay, if you talk to Derek Brooks, and they've got some good statistics when their defense was in their heyday. I believe that would have been a 2002-2003 carryover for Tampa Bay. But Seattle comes to mind. You'd have to go back, you know, even look at the Denver Broncos, as great as what their year was last year, it doesn't even compare. They wouldn't be in the top 10 in terms of all-time defenses. And, you know, think about it. They ranked number one, but in terms of point totals and points allowed, like Tom pointed out, I mean, that Bears defense, if you go look at those numbers, it was ridiculous, and it blows every team away. But probably Baltimore of 2000 would be the most comparable to a defense that dominant of the 85 Bears.
From a football standpoint, the legacy that Buddy Ryan leaves behind is called the 46 defense. And the reason it's called the 46 defense is because of the man who joins us right now on Bears All Access, and that would be former number 46 for the Chicago Bears, safety Doug Plank, who joins us now. And I guess, Doug, we'll piggyback off of what we were just talking about. You know, I asked Tom and Jim if there's been a defense since the group in 85 that reminded them of what that 85 Buddy Ryan defense did. You've watched a lot of football throughout your life. Would you say that anyone's come close to what that team in 85 was able to do?
I heard you guys mention the Baltimore team just a little bit earlier, and I would say they were probably the closest thing to, you know, what the 85 Bears were. I mean, I think it was an innovative concept, but let's face the fact, you had a lot of all pros playing a lot of those positions. And even if you didn't have the 46 defense and you just lined those guys up in a 4-3 defense, a real base defense, they still would have been very dominating. Not nearly as much, you know, with the uses and the freedom of the 46 defense. And really what happened was, you know, most of those guys had been around for a couple of years, and they were just playing together extremely well and playing off each other.
Hey, Doug, tell us about the first time that Buddy Ryan ever brought up, yeah, we're going to call this the 46 defense. This is the positions we're going to put all you guys in to succeed. How was that first moment? Because I got to believe it's really complimentary in the fact that he used your number. But, you know, how did it make you feel in Buddy's explanation that this is what you guys were going to play?
You know where it really started, though? It started the first day of training camp, not the 46 defense, but Buddy came from the Vikings. They had a very good defense. Their front four, a lot of Hall of Famers in that front four, Alan Page, Jim Marshall, just to name a couple guys. But they had great linebackers, great secondary. They had a free safety, Paul Krause, used to play 12 to 15 yards deep, sometimes 20. And it was funny watching him on film, because when you were watching game films of opponents and you were watching the Minnesota defense, sometimes you wouldn't even see him. He wouldn't even be on the screen. He was so far back. So when Buddy came to Chicago, and all of a sudden, here I am, the guy who likes to tackle along with Gary Fensick. You know, we weren't playing the typical safety position. And I think he realized after a short period of time he wasn't happy with our pass rush, and he was trying to create a defense for pass rush to get pressure on the quarterback, which he felt was the most important variable in the success of the defense. So he came up with this 46 defense. We all came in one day, and he had all the numbers on the board. But he was not an X and O guy. Forget your name. He didn't call you by a name. You know, he called you usually by, I would say, an adjective or your number. He had a lot of respect for you. He called you by your number. Unfortunately, he called me by my number, Gary, and a number of us, other ones. You know, but he had names for a lot of the other guys who were in the room, some derogatory, some complimentary. And he put this thing on the defense. He put this on the board. And in myself, Jeff Fisher was the other weak side linebacker. We took the four defensive linemen, shifted them down the line of scrimmage on the weak side, and we brought two linebackers over top of the tight end. So we had that six-man line, and Jeff and I were right behind that line, and then there was three defensive backs behind us. But it gave us so many options. We could rush the quarterback. We could do pass coverage. Buddy even had the defensive ends, and many defenses pick up the backs coming out of the backfield for pass coverage. He dropped them back into zones, just like now is very common in the NFL, where you have defensive linemen dropping back on taking away quick slants and screen passes. Buddy did this back in the 70s. I mean, it was all revolutionary. He had linebackers guarding half the field as far as pass coverage, which meant that if you were a linebacker, you had to take away a fade route, which is an outside release by a receiver 20 yards split out, and guard him going down the sidelines. I mean, it's unheard of. But what it did was, when you looked at those 11 guys were trained killers to go get the quarterback. And every single time that you hit that quarterback in game film room, I'll tell you what, there was an applause that went out like you just won the Indianapolis 500. And there was a mindset, I'll tell you what, I've never been around type A guys like that in my life. I've been around some real he-men and ego guys, but you got in that room, and I'll tell you what, that was a shark tank. Those you didn't have to try to motivate anybody. Those guys came ready to play.
Well, Doug, Jim Miller here. Pleasure to talk to you. And we had a caller call in earlier about teams that tried to make adjustments. And I remember even when I arrived in college, you would dedicate a period or two periods offensively with quote-unquote bear checks of things that you would check to, whether you're in three wides or regular personnel, 21 personnel, in order to really get you in a better play to take advantage of a bear defense. Maybe discuss how Buddy Ryan dealt with his teams were trying to figure out the bear and really try to crack that code of how to deal with a bear defense on a weekly basis.
Jim, you are exactly right. The more things that you can give another team to think about, it occupies their time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're looking at game film. They're on the practice field. They're doing walkthroughs. You may not even run that package. You know, this was really a sub-package. It started out like today's modern defenses where you got four or five packages you send in. That's all it was. It started out as a second and long or a third down and long defense. And it just grew. It grew into what became the regular defense. And, you know, he also had a thing called automatic front coverage. And to reduce all the acronyms that guys like John Gruden like to use in calling plays and things, you don't have time. They're coming out of the huddle. You got to call play. We used to reduce it to AFC. AFC meant that Buddy Ryan gave us a sheet of paper during the week that matched up every formation, every motion with the defense that was the number one efficient defense to run against that play. And we memorized it. So when he gave us the AFC code, we didn't know what we were going to run until the offense came out of the huddle. We had no idea. That's why it took so much communication. And if you couldn't hear or you couldn't communicate, you couldn't talk, you couldn't be on this team. Buddy did not like dummies. He didn't like cowards. He didn't like rookies. And so, I mean, he didn't like kickers or quarterbacks either.
We're visiting with the man who the 46 defense is named after, former Bears safety Doug Plank, with us as we celebrate the life of Buddy Ryan, who passed away yesterday at the age of 85. It seems as though every defensive player that we've heard from over the last 24 hours has talked about a certain moment when they finally got the approval that they needed from Buddy Ryan. What was yours?
You know, when he first came down here, I thought, really, I was going to get traded. I was going to get cut. I wasn't what his idea was of the free safety. You know, he wanted somebody to get deep and intercept passes. And I'm proud to say that there were many times in my career I could have intercepted the ball, but instead I blasted the receiver. And watching him fall on the ground and stumble and the ball rolling next to him, there was so much exhilaration and fun in that. So I could have had more interceptions. But for me, it was a game. You know, it was a couple of years after Buddy had been here, and he was still rough and gruff, Mr. Sergeant, you know, in the Korean War, that real tough bravado, you know, very bombastic type individual. And we lost the game at the very end of the game. The team drove down, scored a touchdown at the end. That didn't happen very often because we always prided ourselves in being better than the defense. And we were in that meeting room on Monday, and he got in front of us, and he just said, you know what, I expect a lot of you guys in this room to make mistakes and errors. He said, there's a few of you in here that I trust, I count on, I put my life on you. And when you don't do the job, I'm getting choked up. I need to think about it. He goes, when you guys don't do the job, you know, it hurts me deep inside. And he just kept looking at us. And all of a sudden, tears and just start rolling down his cheek. I'll tell you, it was a moment to me personally, I'll never forget. And after that, I don't care what it was he asked me to do, go run over somebody, guards, tackles, it doesn't matter, I'm going to do it. And because, you know, he put you in a position where you said it wasn't about, you know, trying to listen to him, it was about not letting down your teammates. And, you know, there's a lot of coaches that are really smart out there, professor-type guys that can get up on a chalkboard and draw up a gajillion plays and all that. You know what, though? If you don't have a coach that can put it on a platform and send it to each and every one of those players and basically, like an arrow, just going into their heart, it won't work. It won't work because you've got to believe it. Otherwise, you know, as all you guys know, I mean, you get out in that field, man, it's a jungle. These are real guys out there trying to hurt you, trying to run you over, trying to intimidate you. And if you don't go out there with the belief system saying, hey, you're not coming over here. I don't care what happens. You are not going to be successful, and you are going to have to pay a price for playing the Chicago Bears.
You know, Doug,
Buddy Ryan,
Sorry to interrupt you, but as much as made of the relationship between Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan, I got to believe that Mike Ditka was the perfect head coach to have Buddy Ryan as a defensive coordinator.
Yes.
Because Mike Ditka had the same tenacity, the same aggressiveness, the same expression on his face that Buddy Ryan wanted his players to do and be able to do on the game field.
You know what? You hit it right on the head. Everybody looked at this like it was distraction or a detraction. Absolutely not. It was the most positive thing going. You had two type A coaches. Both were hired by George Halas. Neither one could be fired. Neither one could say anything to the other one because they were operating independently. I mean, come on. What team have you ever been on where that's happened? And every day that these two guys were together or you were on that team, it was like being at the amusement park. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you what. There was some rough and rides. It was like being on a roller coaster, up and down and going around corners, and you were getting bodies thrown everywhere. That even happened to practice. You know, those two guys would get so mad at each other because you never knew what day might break out into a game at practice. I'm talking intensity like you can't believe. You had mouthpieces on, and you got the plastic on your forearms to get ready to crack people. It was really challenging. But, you know, I learned something back in college at Ohio State. Woody Hayes used to say, you play the way you practice. I'll tell you what, that team practiced hard, and they played hard.
Well, Doug, since you shared so many great stories, I want to share one with you because I just talked recently to Jeff Fisher, coach of the L.A. Rams, and you brought him up earlier in the program. And Jeff said, you know, he got in a game and he gave up two touchdowns. And you mentioned how Buddy Ryan would call players either by their number or an adjective. And Jeff said that he was so nervous going into the next day of meetings because he thought he was just going to get handed an earful by Buddy Ryan. And you mentioned how he had players' backs also from a coaching standpoint. And Jeff Fisher was surprised that he was not brought up or his plays were shown on that tape. And Buddy came to him right after that meeting and said, I should have never put you in that situation. You weren't prepared for it because I never practiced you in that situation or prepared you to fill that role that I asked you to do. Maybe talk about it from that standpoint, because I think Buddy had a great understanding of what players could and not do and what he asked them to do in order to have the success that your defense had.
You know, there was no political correctness with him. And, yes, he did. He took care of some players, you know, obviously, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, because he was always inward thinking. You know, he always saw him had that pipe in his mouth and he had his glasses on. And you could tell he was just always trying to think about something. But, you know, it wasn't just concepts. It was about players because the 46th defense was around for a few years and really nobody knew about it. You know, we knew about it because we had to know it and practice it in practice and get ready for games. But it really wasn't until like 83, 84, 85 where the things started coming out of the closet and you had all these all pros on the team. And now all of a sudden you were matching talent with a scheme. And it was unstoppable because, you know, those guys, as I said, could have lined up in a base defense and still played great defense. But now you give them weapons of movement and deception.
Right.
And, you know, the type of attitude that they had. And Buddy would go out of his way in meeting rooms to show extra effort by guys. They got knocked down, got back up off the ground. I learned when I got knocked down, I used to practice rolling. You know, so I never really landed on the ground. I just rolled and got back up on my feet in a half a second. I'm back to playing again. And, you know, because you lay on the ground, it's no crime to get knocked down, but it's a crime to stay down. And he would point out times where maybe the player didn't make the player play, but what he did was he took out all the blockers or he took away all the opposition to the play and he allowed somebody else to make a play. You know, every interception I ever had, it was because Dan Hampton or Steve McMichael pressured the quarterback. This isn't a one-man show. It's a team. And that was what he was an expert at encouraging players.
Doug, some fascinating stories and memories that you're sharing with us. We thank you so much. But before we let you go, I'm sure you've read and heard many of the tributes over the last day and a half. Is there anything that we've missed when it comes to Buddy Ryan?
I just know one thing that, you know, there's a lot of things they talk about Buddy, you know, whether he was a great head coach or whatever the case might be. You know, and I don't know his records, you know, 500, what I think it's, what, 55 and 55 with one tie. And But I know one thing. You know, I only knew Buddy as a defensive coordinator, so that's the only way I can talk about him. And he was one of the most special people that I've ever met in my life in terms of getting the best out of each and every player and having you go play at a level you didn't think was possible, you know, mentally and physically, and do it in conjunction with a whole bunch of other people. You know, I've never had that feeling since, you know, Pop Warner, where you had so much fun to be on the field and go tackle somebody and then come back to the huddle. And it was like the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Everybody's congratulating. You can't wait for the next play. I mean, honestly, we were all sad when games used to end because now we have to get off the field and go into the locker room. And it was quite an experience.
The mark of a great coach. Doug, thank you so much for sharing those memories.
Great talking to you guys.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Former Bears safety number 46, Doug Plank. We'll take a break. A lot to react to from what we just heard. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're celebrating the life of former Bears defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. We're celebrating the life of former Bears defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan here on Bears All Access. We just heard from Doug Plank, the man that the 46 defense was named after, and joining us now on the program is another one of Ryan's former defensive stars. Former Bears cornerback Leslie Frazier joins us now on Bears All Access. And Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. You know, when we were talking with Doug Plank, one of the things he said is that when it came to calling players, you never heard your actual name being called by Buddy Ryan. You were either a number or an adjective, sometimes good, sometimes bad. What did he call you?
Oh, man. You know what? Doug has a good memory because that's exactly the way it was. Zach, you know, I was number 21 for the longest time until I made a few plays, and then finally I heard my real name called. So it took a little while, but eventually it happened. But that's the way it was with Buddy. I mean, until you earned that respect, you were number 21 or number 50 or number 46, whatever it was. That was his way of kind of keeping you humble in his own way.
Hey, Leslie. Talking to Jay today, he said that yourself and Jay Hilgenberg were the first free agents in 11 years to make the Bears. And probably on the defensive side of the ball, it was, you know, just a heck of a task because not only the position coach you were playing for, the defensive coordinator and everything went along with it. When did you come to the realization that as a free agent, you had an opportunity to come in and make one of the best defenses in the league?
Well, you know, early on, you know, I realized that I was going to get a legitimate shot. When they brought me in, I think you remember Bill Tobin.
Yes.
You know, he was the guy who was kind of the architect. He was the one responsible for acquiring the talent at the time. Our general manager was Jim Finks. Those guys worked me out, brought me up to Chicago during the summer right before training camp began, and, you know, offered me a contract. And I had been injured throughout my senior year. And so when I lined up in training camp and back in those days, I mean, you could bring, you know, 80, 90 guys to just a rookie camp. It's not like it is today where you have, you know, your draft picks and just a handful of free agents. It was, I mean, there were a number of guys back then. So, I mean, you were in training camp with the rookies for about a week to 10 days, and you're battling. And that was my chance to make an impression. And fortunately, I was able to make an impression because once the vets got in, there were no more reps for those rookies unless you had made an impression in that rookie camp. And fortunately for me, I made a favorable impression. And Buddy and Jim LaRue, our defensive back coach, who has since, you know, gone on and you know, gave me an opportunity when camp started, and I took advantage of it. But it wasn't easy. It was not easy. There were a lot of good players already in Chicago when I got there.
Well, Leslie, Jim Miller here. Great to talk to you. And, you know, since you've moved on to coaching and have had a successful coaching career, do you find yourself as a coach saying, man, what would Buddy do in this situation, because obviously you're part of the greatest defense of all time, and certainly I got to believe that characteristic rubbed off on you and how you want your defenses to play over your NFL career as a coach.
Oh, no doubt, Jim. There are a number of times when I'm on the sidelines or even when we're putting together game plans, I think about Buddy and how he would approach certain situations. There have been times in a ball game on the sidelines when we're about to make a call, I'll think about, you know, how would Buddy handle this situation. So his influence, it's still with me, and I have so much respect for him as a person and as a coach. But a lot of fun memories, but his influence is definitely throughout a lot of things I've done now as a coach.
Visiting with former Bears cornerback Leslie Frazier as we celebrate the life of Buddy Ryan here on Bears All Access. You mentioned when you're on the sidelines, sometimes you're thinking about how would Buddy play this particular play. But to be a great coach, it's more than just X's and O's. It's the way you deal with players and the relationships that you establish with them. When we see Buddy Ryan and we see the all the different sound bites, and he had some powerful quotes over the years, but what was he like when it came to dealing with players away from the field?
I think Jim, both you and Tom would agree with this. That's probably the one ingredient that sets guys apart as coaches. I mean, probably 99% of the guys that coach, they understand X's and O's, but the communication, that's a whole different matter, and that's where Buddy kind of separated himself. And I think that had a lot to do with why we saw him carried off the field after we won the Super Bowl. He had really endeared himself to my teammates and myself as well. And that came from his being able to communicate to guys, you know, be very demanding like he was. I mean, he wasn't going to take any stuff, and you're going to have to play things and do things the way he wanted them done. But at the same time, he had a way of making it clear to you that he trusted you as a player, he trusted you as a person, and if you could adhere to his standards, I mean, there isn't anything that Buddy wouldn't do for you as a player and as a person. I give this example. Prior to the Super Bowl, this is an example of Buddy just taking it to another level when it comes to relationships. This is prior to the Super Bowl. We're practicing. We get done with practice. He comes up to me and he said, "Hey, Leslie, I've got this engagement in Wisconsin a few days after the Super Bowl. I'm going up to do a clinic and talk to some coaches and some different people from across the country. And I want you to come with me. I want to, you know, have you to go on stage and just talk to them about some things. And I think it'll be really good for those coaches that'll be there, but it'll be good for you as well. I want to, you know, help build you up." And I'm going, like, you know, all the guys on our great defense that he could have asked to come along with him for this trip. I mean, those kind of things you don't hear about with Buddy. But he would do the same thing with an Otis Wilson or a Gary Fensick. He'd find a way to communicate his love for you in whatever way that was, but also be very demanding, expecting your best in practice and in games as well.
You know, Leslie, cornerbacks, they kind of get tagged as a cover cornerback or a tackling quarterback. In the whole scheme of the 46 defense, did Buddy Ryan ever ask you to do anything that you had to convince yourself you were capable of doing? Or was it something that you knew that the pass rush was going to get to the quarterback so quickly that you were capable of doing anything he asked of you?
Yes and no. I mean, I knew we had a great pass rush, but there were times where, you know, the ball didn't come out as quickly as you would like, and then you had to be able to, you know, cover throughout the down. And we were getting ready to play the Raiders. I think we were out in Oakland, Tom, at this time. And Cliff Rant, who was a great receiver for a long time in the NFL, still one of the premier receivers in the league, and that kind of slowed down. Actually, we were playing at home. We were at home in this ball game. And Buddy told me, "You're going to have Branch, you know, all day by yourself. Get up and press him. You can handle him." And I'm going, like, man, this guy is fast. He's quick. But, you know, that's the belief he had in me. But the one thing about Buddy, and this is another reason why guys love playing for him, if you saw something in a ball game and you told him, "Hey, if we could, can we take a look at this or can we take a look at that?" Unlike some coaches that are so bent on you got to do it by the book, Buddy wasn't like that. I mean, he'd listen to what you had to say as a player, and if you could make it work, he would allow you to do it. And, man, you want to play for a guy like that. I mean, your respect for him goes through the roof. And in this ball game, I saw some things that I thought would help me against Branch, and he allowed me to do it. And, you know, we ended up having a big win at home against the Raiders. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yes.
But it was a big win for us. But that's the beauty of Buddy as a coach and his ability to be able to communicate and work with players. It's not always his way only. I mean, he would listen to your suggestion. Now, you have to make sure that it works when you bring a suggestion up.
Well, it's interesting, Leslie, because you've brought up so much on the human element side of things and that coach-player relationship. And I think everybody knows there were a lot of personalities on that 85 Bears team. And I'll say even other places Buddy Ryan coached, but he was able to manage all those personalities, let players be themselves, let the locker room breathe. And how did he pull that off? How did he pull that off as a coach?
You know, someone asked me, they said, do you think Buddy could survive in today's NFL with the way the players are today? And for the reason you just mentioned, I think he could. He would be one of those coaches who would adapt to the way the current players are. You know, he would understand that you have to approach them a little bit differently than you did in the 80s. Here we are in 2016. But his style was one where it was always about guys who could make plays. And if you were a player that could make plays, he found a way to make sure that you were going to be put in position to make those plays. And I think as a player, that's all we ever ask for. You know, give me the scheme, share with me what you're looking for, now let me go out and play. And that was Buddy. And, you know, he didn't get caught up in necessarily how you did it, but go out and make the plays. And if you did that, you were golden with him.
Leslie, thank you so much for sharing these memories with us of your former defensive coordinator, Buddy Ryan. Before we let you go, though, we keep hearing that back in the day that the offense and defense, you guys would constantly fight one another in practice. Tom, Leslie, were you guys going at it all the time?
It was about preparation. You know that, Leslie.
Yeah.
You had to have game day air in your helmet on a Wednesday and Thursday because that's the approach that both Coach Ditka and Buddy Ryan had on a practice field.
And you got to remember, Zach, this is a time where, Tom, you remember, we were wearing pads on Wednesday, Thursday, and even on Fridays.
So right.
It was a totally different NFL than it is today, where you're wearing pads once a week and only 11 times in the course of the season. So those were some physical practices, some physical 9-on-7s, but it was good. It prepared us for what we had to get done on Sundays.
Leslie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Leslie.
All right. Okay.
All right, guys. Leslie, good talking to you.
Former Bears cornerback Leslie Frazier. He is one of many Buddy Ryan disciples that went on to become head coaches in the NFL. Jeff Fisher is one. Leslie Frazier, another. Mike Singletary became a head coach. Ron Rivera led his team to the Super Bowl last season. A whole bunch of them. Want to remind you, get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. More with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the 2016 Meet the Rookie series brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, but you can catch all the individual features on chicagobears.com. If you missed Leonard Floyd, great feature that was on Monday. You can go back to the website chicagobears.com and watch it. Tuesday, they took a good look at Daniel Braverman, the 7th-round pick. Today, it's about the Harvard tight end, Ben Broniker, and he's got a great backstory, so you want to watch that. Tomorrow, they'll take a closer look at the rookie running back, Jordan Howard, so check it out. It's the 2016 Meet the Rookie series brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus on chicagobears.com. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access as we celebrate the life of Buddy Ryan, the former Bears defensive coordinator, who is considered one of the greatest defensive minds in the history of the National Football League. And, you know, the proof is just look at his entire career when he was with the Jets and the big surprise win over the Colts back in Super Bowl III. And you know what? It was the opportunity, Tom, to watch Joe Namath with the Jets and practice against him every single day that gave him the idea of putting together what eventually became the 46 defense, because he saw that, you know, you had to take away the time, the luxury that a quarterback had, those 5 to 7 step drops. You had to force the issue, and he started to do it a little bit with the Purple People Eaters when he went on and coached the Minnesota Vikings defense. And then when he went to the Bears, He was able to do things his way, and then there was that influx of talent. It wasn't just Mike Singletary and Leslie Frazier and Doug Plank. I think what made it go is the fact that you had the guys up front in Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael, because without those two players, I don't think you could have made this defense what it eventually became.
Right. You know, when a coach has a footprint in the NFL that Buddy Ryan has left behind, it just shows you a coach that learns every day. He doesn't stop learning once he gets a job in the NFL. He continues to study. He continues to learn. He continues to understand how to attack the opponent's offense. Whether you have a strong running game or whether you're featuring a great passer. And that was one of the unique qualities of Buddy Ryan. And, you know, if you want to speed this thing up to 2016, I'm kind of interested to see what Rex and Rob Ryan are going to do in Buffalo. Are they going to do, not a salute to their dad, but are they going to bring up the 46 defense and try to use it in a way that maybe they learned something from their dad a long time ago, or just have the ability to understand they have the talent to use this defense in an effective way in their division. So I'm still interested to see the years of carryover that Buddy Ryan will have in the NFL, because when you mention Jeff Fisher, Leslie Frazier, Ron Rivera, and all the other coaches, Singletary, and all the other coaches that played for him, they left a big imprint on each one of these players. Now, as they bring it to the coaching field, you heard Leslie. He thinks of what Buddy Ryan would say, or he thinks of the message that Buddy Ryan would want to deliver.
You know, Jim, the thing that stands out to me, just listening to the stories from all the guys that played for Buddy Ryan, it's the ability to deal with people. You know, the game has changed. The X's and O's aspect of the game has changed from the time George Halas played to the Monsters of the Midway to the football that we have today. But the principles are the same.
Yeah, well, it's still, I mean, the 46 defense, as I pointed out with Green Bay, and Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos, he uses principles of the Buddy Ryan defense. Everybody does. It's at the college level. So it's still sprinkled and utilized in today's game, and I just think it reflects the impact or the imprint that Buddy Ryan had. It's not like all these players were all first-rounders. He knew how to utilize the talent that he had, whether it was with the Bears and when he moved on to Philadelphia, and Reggie White and guys like Clyde Simmons and Seth Joyner, or even when he was out in Arizona. Think about when Eric Swan somewhat burst onto the scene. I mean, that guy didn't even play college football, and he had an impact out there for Buddy Ryan. So, you know, like I said, it really comes back to this. The Hall of Fame, there are so many good coaches, and I know they classify them, are they contributors? Why not just create an assistant coach category that they can elect some of these guys in there? Because, again, you can't talk about the history of the NFL without mentioning Buddy Ryan's name and his imprint. So we can talk about the 46, which the Bears were running basically implemented back in 1981 when he came up, like you said, from Minnesota, or came over from Minnesota, then really started to put it together in 81, and then you saw the fruits of later labor, 81, 85. It is still utilized today, 2016. That's how big of an impact he had on the NFL.
Jim, Tom, thank you so much for helping us
great job, Zach.
Celebrate the life of Buddy Ryan. And special thanks to Doug Plank and Leslie Frazier for the great stories and memories that they shared with us. I'm Zach Zabin saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 70 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.